Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your promises, for your encouragement, for just your amazing and boundless grace. We thank you for bringing us together around your word, and we pray that you would guide me through the message and help us to recognize how these things pertain to us in our own lives and apply them in our daily lives. Actions. We just thank you, Father, and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we've been in, of course, the study of true faith, pastor's study on true faith, and the most recent portion we were in, we were going over Hebrew words for faith, and the particular word we were on was kasah. C-H-A-S-A-H, and as that starts working up there, if you remember it, the kasa had the idea of to flee to something to take refuge. It had three or four primary ideas. One is that there was a threat, whether that threat was real or imagined. Two is that threat caused fear in the individual, so they were afraid. Number three is that Yahweh will protect us, as he's promised to do so. And number four is we then flee from the threat itself to Yahweh for protection. And then we went through quite a number of passages pertaining to this, and which takes us down to Psalm 91. So this provision from God is obviously open to all believers, regardless of their status in life. And in Psalm 91, the psalmist is again talking about the protection that God has for his people. And so Psalm 91 was a huge comfort to me when I was in the Marine Corps. Like, you know, there were a couple of instances where we were just waiting for a call and we would have been in a hostile country. We had everything staged, everything ready, all of our guns and gear and ammo all crated up on the company grinder, which is basically a, you know, a giant parking lot, all crated up, ready to load onto airplanes to fly into country. And at the time, I wasn't as forthcoming with the fact of how close I was to going with Faith, because I didn't want her to be in a dither over it. But there was part of me that was, you know, I mean, when you go through boot camp, especially for the Marine Corps, let's be honest, they kind of brainwash you into this warrior mindset. And you just want that to be let loose on an enemy. Well, in retrospect, I'm very thankful that I did not have to see combat. But at the time, I did. Until it was like, okay, now we might really be going. And then it was like, oh, wait, whoops. Maybe I'm not so excited to go, you know, fight the enemy and possibly die after all. Well, Psalm 91 was a huge comfort to me, because it told how God will take care of his people, even in the you know, situation where somebody might be in wartime or others. But we'll go ahead and read this together here. So Psalm 91, this is the whole psalm. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, reading through this passage, I'm reminded of guys like George Washington, who led from the front his troops and didn't shrink back, didn't hide behind his troops and tell them to go up there and fight the battle. He led from the front. And when the day would end, he would go back to his tent, take off his jacket, and there were bullet holes through the hems of his jacket. God spared him. He kept the arrow from striking him down. And that kind of protection is what God has promised to all of those who seek him, who take refuge in him, who run to him for their protection. Now, back here in verse 4, it says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. That refuge is this word, kasa. And his faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. God is eternally and always faithful. And it is his faithfulness that is our protection, our shield, and our rampart. And we see many, many times throughout the Bible these types of analogies or metaphors used. And then in verse 14, Yahweh says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. So this acknowledge, this is the Hebrew word. Yada. That's Y. A-H-D-A-H. And this yada means to know. But it's not just this simple English phrase of to know my name. Like the demons know who God is. They know his name. But they fear and tremble at him. This knowledge is more of a sense of understanding and grasping his character, his power, his faithfulness, his identity, not just intellectually, but relationally. We have a relationship with our God, our Father. And we not only accept it, we admit it outright that he is truly the God who takes care of us. In verse 15, he says, he will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So Yahweh has always been there for his people. The people that he has called to himself out of the world system. The key to appropriating this blessing protection of God, this comes through the idea of loving him and as we saw up there, in knowing him and actually reaching out to him, to going to God and not other things. It's important to understand the action here. It's like Philippians 4, where we're told that to take our prayer requests to the Lord. Now God already knows what needs we have, the troubles and trials that we're going through. He knows all of that. He knows exactly what we want in that time. But it requires actually going to him as our refuge for our protection and help. Imagine if he just did everything for everybody without them asking. So many people in their pride would say, I didn't ask you for help. I wanted to do this myself. I didn't want your help. So God sits back and says, okay, ask me. Just ask. This way, if a believer wants God to intervene in his life, to help him out with his problems, with great strength, power, wisdom, and grace, then we must ask God for help. And to do that, of course, we need to relationally know God and his name. The Lord said, whoever asks in my name, he will do it. Yahweh is the name of God, and God's Son is Jesus, Jesus Christ, in Hebrew, Yeshua. And again, in the song of praise that David sung when God delivered him out of the hands of Saul and his enemies, he said, as for God, his ways are perfect. The word of Yahweh is flawless. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. That was 2 Samuel 22:31. The word shield is magen. And it's used to convey the idea of protection. Yahweh told Abraham that he was his shield, that is, that he would protect him. And he is our shield today, the very shield that we need to run behind for protection. In Samuel 2:22, the faith actions of David and all of the people we're going to study here, this Hebrew word, chasa, is in the kal participle form. And again, that participle form shows that the action's an ongoing, continual way of life type of an action. This is something that we as believers should be doing all of the time. And those that are mentioned in these passages are referred to as doing them as a way of life all the time. So when we're going about our day today, instead of going to others or to the government or turning to ourselves, God wants us going to him and to be doing it as a way of life. Psalm 2:12. Says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. This idea, kiss the Son, that's to pay a reverent respect to the Son, recognizing his status. So kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. And that word blessed, we've had it before, but it's the Hebrew word esher, also translated as happy. So happy are those believers who continually go to Yahweh for help and protection, who make Yahweh their shield. So this protection of Yahweh is not just for David only, but for all the people of God. In Psalm 5, 11, and 12, Psalm 5 and 11 and 12, we read, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, and those who love your name, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, Yahweh, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." This idea, it's because you bless or prosper the righteous, Yahweh, you surround them with your favor, which is the goodwill of a monarch as he bestows that goodwill upon his subjects. And that is our shield. Again, David petitions the Lord for protection. He has come to him as a shelter in a time of adversity. Psalm 17:7. "Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes." And we need to note again that all of these are in the participial form. So it's something that they've come to do as a way of life. They are going to Yahweh for help and protection continually. And we note the beneficial results from Psalm 5:12, which stated, "Because you bless or prosper the righteous, you surround them with your favor as with a shield." That's the results of us going to him for our refuge. So we're surrounded by the grace benefits of God. And then we notice in Psalm 18:2, it reads, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. We need a shield to protect us from Satan in this life, and God is that shield. And we're to do this as a way of life. And notice the power of God, the awesome, majestic power of God that came down to help David in Psalm 18, 6 through 19. And I'll read this to you. This is Psalm 18, 6 to 19. This is just powerful. "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. In Psalm 31, 19 and 20, we see the protecting hand of God on those believers who are continually seeking shelter in Yahweh. This reads, "How great is your goodness, which you have stored for those who fear you." This is being adjusted to his divine justice and protocol plan that he has put in place, having that healthy respect and reverence towards God. "You bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you." So how great is your goodness, which you have stored for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from the strife of tongues. So he not only protects us physically from harm, but also from the effects of people speaking hatefully about us. Now we have Psalm 34, 22. And again, these are all instances of that ongoing participial form of seeking or taking refuge in God. Yahweh redeems his servants. In this passage, his servants, it's actually the soul of his servants. Yahweh redeems the soul of his servants in the original. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. The word redeemed, pada, P-A-D-A-H. This has the idea to preserve or deliver from danger. And pada is actually in the participial form. And that delivering from danger, this redeeming, is something that God is doing on a continual, ongoing basis. So God is continually, as a practice, delivering his servants from danger and taking refuge in him. Again, in the participial form, shows that the believer also did this as a practice. They were always going to the Lord to deliver them. Similar in practice or scope to Isaiah 54:17. Which reads, "No weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and this is their vindication from me, declares Yahweh," or the Lord. Now we have Proverbs 14:32. "When calamity comes, the wicked are brought down, but even in death, the righteous have a refuge." In calamity, it tells us what happens to those that are wicked. They're brought down, they're taken out. But the righteous who have a refuge in God, during the calamity, the righteous still have hope. They may be spared the calamity, or if it goes to the absolute worst case scenario, the righteous have a refuge in God in death. Either way, we can rely on the comfort of God through the situation. One of the things that all people on earth have to wrestle with is the idea of fear. This fear stems from our own insecurities. Fear of nature, fear of the weather, fear of death, fear of disease, health problems, fear of governments, hostile governments, our own government, fear of people, fear of the homeless and the crackheads that are in the parking lot when we're on our way out to the car. Both physically and emotionally, we have fear, fear of life. And we all want something that will protect us from the things that we're afraid of. In battle, we have armor. We surround our cities or sometimes our gated communities with walls or fences. We want airbags for our cars, seat belts. We demand that the police officers protect us in our communities. We have walls of electronic surveillance around our homes or cars. The Ring doorbell cameras, the Blink, there's so many different versions of this. And all designed to give us a sense of security. How secure does it really make us? We'll talk more about that. We put clothes on our bodies that protects us from the weather, the elements, roofs over our heads, walls around our homes, all to give us that sense of protection. We put on psychological self-defense mechanisms to protect our souls, like wearing personality masks with when we're out in public. Or wearing physical masks, like back in the COVID days, you know, some people wore a mask because they were afraid of catching the Rona. A lot of people did. A lot of people, because of fear, took the jab. So all of this fear causes us to act in certain ways. Buy guns, store food, take self-defense training, act mean, all because we're afraid. We want protection. We want something to shield us from the things in life that we're afraid of. But our God is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. In Isaiah 57, the prophet, as moved by the Holy Spirit, talks about the people of God and how the righteous are taken away and no one ponders why or how or where they've gone. How they enter into peace and rest even in death. The whole tone of the message changes regarding those who have gone into the Mother Goddess cult. God says, "But you, come here, you children of a sorceress, children of a son of a witch, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes." And he continues in this vein down to verse 13, "When you cry out for help, let your collection of idols help you. Let your collection of idols save you." They've trusted in them this far. They worshiped them. They took refuge in them. So when bad times come, let those save you. But then he goes back to the righteous, the doctrinal believer that lives by faith. In verse 13, Isaiah 57, verse 13, he says, "But the man who makes me his refuge will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain." We'll be with him on his holy mountain for eternity. We'll go ahead and pause here and pick up with Nahum 1:7 after the break. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for this message. We pray that you would bless it to us and help us to apply it. And we just thank you and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.